Blog Talk Radio.
To another episode with Truth, Chef Rob. It's this Thursday, Hug a Thug Thursday. I got my guest here, my co-host. I also got another guest here, my buddy Tone. Got Rodney. We're interviewing Rodney today. Rodney McGowan.
That's right.
About his 20 years of being incarcerated. And Marie.
Eva Marie. Eva from Marie. Beauty Unique.
That's right. Eva.
East you. Dundee, downtown.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead. Let them know where you at.
Log on to www.divabeautyunique.com.
There you go. There you go. Yeah, you know, it's a nice spot. I went there one time, and I was, you know, bumping into women coming out of there. So if I didn't have a previous engagement, you know, or commitment, I probably would have been hanging out there a whole lot.
You got a place to get your hair done now.
Yeah,
new place.
I'm going to come over there. I do something to do today, you know. I look pretty decent.
You do?
Yeah, do I really?
Yes.
Do you deal with this kind of hair? Straight hair? Oriental hair?
Every day.
Every day? Cool.
Are you Oriental? What does that mean?
This is from Asia, man. You have a different kind of texture of hair.
Oh, it's the same thing as this here. It's just straight. don't be going and pulling off quick with all this. Look here, man. Last time we talked,
right.
See if I can remember, if we can get to it a little bit. There was I'm trying to go ahead and remember exactly where we were at. I want you to deal with that, you know, the first week. You know, that was coming to mind. That first week you got there. I want you to harp on that. Your feelings, and we just go ahead and go from there. So your feelings that first week, how you felt, and you feel that you're going to be there too much longer. Because we're going to be doing this for a while. Because, you know, you're 20 years. You got a whole lot of stories. You got enough stuff to write a damn book on, man. I really feel. You know, I feel like this. You know, screw that Shawshank Redemption. What is it? Shawshank Redemption? Shawshank Redemption.
There you go.
Oh, we got a better story than that.
Right.
So go let us know about that first week.
Well, it was like the first week was like I didn't have no feelings at all.
Mm-hmm.
It was just like it was gone.
It was
for as my feelings, you know, I didn't have none. I was like in a zero zone,
mm-hmm.
And I didn't have no understanding, and I wasn't finna do what you tell me to do. I was just,
rebellion.
Yeah, very.
Oh.
Because I didn't really understand back then why did I have to go down because I wouldn't testify on somebody. You know.
Okay.
When the folks that told them. You know, that got robbed. They told them that I didn't do nothing. I was just sitting in the back seat. But
and
know,
that warrant 20 years?
And they said because I wouldn't turn state evidence, or it's just like I'm guilty of what he did.
Mm-hmm.
I'm just as guilty as him because I wouldn't turn state evidence on him. So it left me like. I didn't understand that. So when I got to the prison, it was like, I don't care what y'all say. I go to hole or whatever. I'm not doing what you tell me to do. And it went on for a long time. Then I got tired of going to the hole, so I tried out work, you know, going out working in the fields. And
yeah.
That stuff got old real quick. So
how quick? A month, 2 months?
About a month and a half is because I was on the verge of, you know, getting me some class, and they got a class system down there, you know, class one, class two, class three, and class four. Class four is at the bottom of the list. That's when you ain't got no good time coming or nothing. You just, what they say, a bad inmate.
Okay,
It's a classification system, and when you first get there, you start out as class 3, and they move you after 60 to 90 days, they move you to another class, like you advance to class 2.
Okay, you come in, you get class 3.
Yeah, you come in to class 3.
Is that for like a good behavior?
Yeah. You come in the door with class 3, but if you, you know, do what you're supposed to do, they like take you up for classification and check out your disciplinary. If you had been in disciplinary problems, or if you're doing your work, you know, right. Then they did advance you to a higher class. Class 1 is the highest you can go. You can get a job. You know, they give you an inside
you got
job
better,
in the prison.
Privilege and
right,
stuff like that.
Right,
so they treat
right.
you like more like a human being,
right,
so to
right.
speak, if you're class 1.
That's right.
So when you're first coming in, you're classified as class 4. And then you just kind of like work your way up.
Right.
Okay.
Or you could, you some right, well, now it didn't change. Like, you come in class 2. But if you do something wrong, they bust you all the way back down to class 4. And you got that's 120 days out in the hot field.
Wow.
How many different classifications are there?
It's 4.
4 different classifications?
Right. And the highest you can go is class 1. 4 is the lowest.
Robert, excuse me, I wasn't here last week when you first did an interview.
Mm-hmm.
When you got incarcerated, what year was that, Rod? And what was the situation? What you got jailed for?
Oh, okay. I got jailed for 3 counts of criminal conspiracy to commit robbery,
okay.
Kidnapping, and theft.
Okay.
That's what I had. Robbery, kidnapping. I had 3 counts of criminal conspiracy to all of them. And it was like they told him, you know, they told me that if I testify, because the people told them that I didn't do nothing, which I was just sitting in the back
right.
seat. But the prosecutor and my attorney was telling me that if I testify against this man, they would give me 10 years with 5 suspended. And 5 to do, I said, I'm going to the joint anyway. What am I going to,
right.
you know, I'm not going to tell on this man. You know, I didn't do nothing, and they told them I didn't do nothing. But still, I had to go down because I wouldn't testify on another man. You know, and I didn't really understand that because I was at the age, I was young,
right.
man.
Yeah. How old were you when you?
17. Yeah, I was
17
when I first went down.
Wow. Because I know the younger you are, the less punishment you go through.
No, they don't play that in Arkansas.
Oh, okay.
In Arkansas, it's
a different
crime.
Jurisdiction, right?
Right. Okay. You do the crime, they set you as your crime. Whatever your crime falls upon.
Because I know Robert here in Chicago, Illinois. 17 is still considered a juvenile, isn't it?
Juvenile, right.
But
that really doesn't matter. You know, it's hardest to go ahead and especially if you're a minority. You know, if you commit a so-called crime, because to me, are not crimes, they make a big deal out of it. They want to try and give you as much time as possible.
But they didn't prove that he was the person who did all the robbery or, you know.
No.
But he was just like in the... you were just at the wrong place at the wrong time.
Right.
And
right.
you were just with these guys who actually did the crime,
right.
but you were with them, so you got also charged for their crime also.
Right.
But that's a stiff 20 years, man, for...
Yeah.
It seems ridiculous. That's not justice. That's not justice. And I feel that, hey, as we go ahead and we talk to you right now, I feel there's a whole lot of stuff you can tell us that just not... It's unjust. You know what I'm saying?
So when were you released, right?
I was released in 06.
Just recently.
06.
Just
recently. I've been out ever since. And ever since I've been out, I've been surrounding myself with positive people.
Yeah.
You know, like folks from GCI, WGCI in Chicago.
Right.
I'm real cool with Beyonce.
They don't get in no plug. They ain't helping me.
Right. Right. But you know, I've just been surrounding myself with positive people. You know, people that I haven't asked them for, I've been knowing them now since I've been up here about going on almost 2 years.
Have you heard of this advocate place where Northwestern University, where they can look?
Yeah, where they go in.
They can look at your they can look at your situation. Maybe you can get a.
If they review your case.
Yeah, review
I know
your case.
What you're talking about because they've got a lot of people off.
Yeah.
I can't remember. I just seen them do something recently.
It'll
come to me. I'll lift him up.
But he already served the punishment.
But
he should get like a merit for it for 20 years that he was locked in for. Something that he didn't do.
You know, he should get like
I don't know, give you some kind of
restitution.
Yeah, restitution. Yeah. Give you, I don't know, do you have a job already or?
No, I'm in the process of getting a job right now. I go for an interview tomorrow.
Oh, congratulations, man. I hope for
you. So
but what I'm saying is that university
I know what
you You can give your name, your address, and all that stuff that your personal whatever.
It's Innocence Program. I think
right.
Innocence Project or Innocence Project or something like that. They even still help you. They help a lot of people that are already incarcerated, but they also help people that I believe they help a lot of people that have gotten out and
right.
who are locked up unjustly. And a lot of stuff sounds really messed up.
Now they can give you some kind of repayment, man, of 20 years that you didn't deserve to be locked up for 20 years, man. You know.
It was the last interview we did. It was something that you had touched on that I wanted to go ahead and come back to. And he was talking about the lack of respect in a home. You know, you didn't have that father figure and stuff like that.
Right.
How would that really change you? You know, because it's a lot of kids out here that got both parents at home and they still do silliness.
Well,
how do you feel that? We'll deal with you for right now. We'll deal with the world as a whole later.
Right. How about you? Well. As far as me, I mean, it was just like I said, I was listening to my other brothers and sisters talk to their dad and call them dad and whatever.
How many brothers and sisters you have?
I have it's five of them, other than me, six and all.
Six, okay. Six, seven. Okay. And so listen to their dads and stuff like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, I'll be listening to them, you know, tell their dad, be giving them information. Helping with their homework. I was wanting that when I was young, you know, and I just wanted somebody to call dad, you know, and he wasn't ever there, so that took a big toll. That's why I was, you know, like, kind of bad as I was, because I used to wear, like, when I go to school, I wear three pair of pants because I know I'm going to get a paladin that day. And, you know,
It's like automatic.
He's like, let me prepare for it. You know?
Right.
Like, okay, yeah, you know, I know they're going to be beating my butt here soon,
right.
So let me get ready. So you just go on here and give them
the code. Right. But, you know, later on, the principal called on to me and told me to take a couple pair of pants off. You know, but I got it for about 2 months straight. You know, but after that, I was bad because I never did have no daddy just to crack down on me and tell me, hey, man, that ain't the way, you know, what are you doing?
You need any male role models? Anything like that?
None whatsoever.
What about the other kid's dad? He wasn't a role model.
He didn't really too much, you know, like when he give them money, he'll give me some, but as far as like advice and talk to, he never did that with me.
He
didn't
give you any guidance.
Right. And
where was your biological father at that time?
He was living with him. My father?
Your real father. Your blood.
I don't know. I never seen my father. My real father. I never seen him.
Wow.
I never seen him. I never laid eyes on him. They tell me about him, you know. But I've seen my sisters and they said I've seen him before, but I can't remember him.
Yeah, you're probably young.
I can't remember, but I remember my little sister, his daughters.
Right.
You know.
Okay, real quick. I don't want to touch on that too much, but do you know where he is now? Do you have any?
No, I mean, I asked a couple of people, and some say he's deceased, and some tell me that, you know, he's just around, but I don't know.
Knowing who you are and where you came from, you know, knowing your gene pool, what you're susceptible to, what could happen. If cancer is like a history in his family, you might be able to go ahead and you might be getting that or whatever. You know, I'm not wishing that on you. I wish that. My mom has cancer, so, and then I had two aunts died from it. My dad died of cancer, and my grandfather died of cancer. So I don't wish that on nobody when I saw him go. But the thing about it is that, knowing, that part, you don't feel that you need to know that part about who he is and where he comes from.
I mean, really, to be honest with you, no, I really don't. If I could see him, and meet him and try, I would do that because, I mean, you can't hide from the fact that is your, that is your father.
Right.
And I'm the type of person, I always like to be close to my family, especially my, the people that helped me come to this world. You know what I'm saying? And I never got that from him, so. If, I really ain't been too concerned about him because I done went through it, without him. I done went through, actually hell without him.
Without a trainer almost.
Right.
I've got a question. I'm putting these things you say together, and being locked up 20 years for something that you didn't do, not having a father, how deep is the anger?
The anger, it was so potent to where I didn't even know I was being angry, but I was angry.
Mm-hmm.
That's how potent it was.
So how were you acting out, or how did you lash out your anger, or how did it come out?
Well, it was like, I care less about their disciplinary. So I did I did stuff to catch disciplinary to show them that I wasn't hurting them by doing it. I was hurting myself, but I didn't realize it because the anger had got my head so clogged up into, and I was just there. You know what I'm saying? And whatever, whatever.
So did you ever fight? How much did you fight?
I was in gang fights. I was in,
What is a gang fight like? I'm a hairdresser.
Fight.
I don't know what a gang fight is like.
Gang fights is like, if the opposite of what you, portraying is y'all into it.
Okay.
You guys into it. And you just meet up wherever you see each other at, and that's where it go down at.
So you was actually fist fighting? How did y'all fight?
Yeah, fighting, stabbing,
You stab people.
Well, I've stabbed.
I've
stabbed somebody, but it was because he broke in my locker box.
Oh.
I went to the gym to play ball on rec call, and this guy, they told me when I came back that this guy, I'm talking about, I don't get money in, and the little food and commissary that I do get, I hustle for it. I should learn myself how to shoot dice in the joint and play cards, to get what I need because I didn't have no outside help.
Okay, but now that was another reason for anger right there.
Right.
So you got the fact that you locked up for 20 years, you didn't do nothing. You got no help from the outside and your father. What else was making you angry?
That I wasn't hearing from my immediate family.
Okay, that's no help from the outside. Okay, so you would fight. What else would you do as far as your anger management?
Well, I took 3 anger management classes. 3. And I went through all of them, but it wasn't no good. It didn't do no good because I was doing the same thing.
And
I was catching disciplinaries, cussing the guards out, stuff like that, because I couldn't get to the inmates. They had locked me down. They labeled me as like a threat to security and the good order of the institution. So they locked you down.
Okay, when they locked you down, what happened?
You go in a single cell, And
just you in there?
Yeah, just you in there. You got a commode, a sink, in a bed, and a like a little dresser to draw on, write your letters on.
Mm-hmm.
That's all you got.
Okay. So when you would go to the cell by yourself, just you in there, that the whole you were telling us about last show?
No, what I'm talking about now is Ag Said. That's where they lock you down at. That's Ag Said.
Explain that, because that's like an acronym, Ag Said. What does it mean exactly?
Okay, Ag Said is a place for...
administrative segregation?
Right. Okay. It's administrative segregation for folks who can't cope with general population. They always in trouble or, you know, give them God's problems, so they lock you down until you can straighten your act up. And they review your jacket, and if they feel like they should let you out to general population, they let you out. They feel like they can hold you there, they're going to hold you there.
Okay. I lost my thought. Anyway, the anger. You went to anger management.
Right.
And you realized that it didn't work.
Right.
For you. The
right.
traditional anger management class did not work for you.
Did not work for me.
When did you realize that it wasn't working?
Because I kept doing the same thing over and over.
And what was that?
Well, cussing out the guards, catching disciplinaries, you know, unnecessary disciplinaries that I really didn't have to catch. But I was catching them because I was just angry and I was feeling like that doing that was easing my pain, which it wasn't doing nothing but making it greater.
Wow. 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 Okay. That's pretty darn good. When did you realize that, you know, as angry as I am with all of these situations in my mind, I'm carrying all this pain in my heart because I don't have no help from the outside. My family, I haven't heard from them in all this time. My father wasn't around. How much did you cry when you was by yourself?
Yeah, how emotional did you?
Okay.
Did it really start to affect you emotionally?
Yeah. That's something that I can sit up and honestly say that I never cried.
Wow.
My last time crying was like when my mom whooped me when I was 11 years old. I burnt the house.
What?
Burnt the house.
Okay, sidetrack. You burned the house? What was the point of that?
I was trying to cook.
Okay.
I was trying to cook.
You're an early candidate for my cooking class.
Right.
This is Chef Rob speaking. You're an early candidate for my cooking class. I really could have helped you because I've been there. There's many times where I was going ahead and doing stuff late night, and before I know it, the house was all smoky, and I was
good thing that we clarified that. Good thing.
So you burned the house. It wasn't intentional.
I didn't really burn the house down. It's just like the kitchen I messed up real good.
Okay. I'm trying to picture it. It was a smoky or
yeah,
black
yeah,
in the wall.
Yeah, yeah. Like,
oh, so you never cried. In
no,
all of this anger, you never cried.
No,
that is amazing because the girl will cry at the drop of a heartbeat.
I got an injury when I was in the military. I don't remember. I did stab myself. I went through a whole lot of stuff myself. But I think a lot of guys go through something differently from what females go through.
Right.
A lot of guys go through it.
But I know guys that cry, but maybe y'all not the crying type. I don't know.
Also, when you're in the surrounding with all guys, it's more of a...
Yeah, it's a lot different.
Yeah, you don't want to show your emotion, but actually maybe
you feel like going in like a little girl.
So
right.
You cry on the inside, obviously.
You're
right?
Going to get bullied inside the prison, you show your emotions, but...
Prison, see, that's why I'm trying to... Because what I'm relating it to is some of my experiences when I was in the military, especially when he was going through. Sounds like a lot of stuff would happen to me early on, going through basic training and stuff. And it's kind of similar because they got total control and they treat you like crap.
Right.
I went through Army basic training and Navy basic training. You know, and Army basic training, I thought about going through Marine, but I said, no, that was enough. There was enough after Navy. And besides, I got hurt, they wouldn't let me come back in. But going through the Army stuff, there was no crying there, dude. They deal with it. You be out there going ahead and put that 65 rucksack on your back. It'd be like, I was in Missouri, Fort Leonard.
Oh, okay.
And they go ahead and give you your weapon, pack you down. You want to cry? They have you out there. It'd be 100-something degrees. You'd be out there marching past and out. And they'll just go ahead and put their foot on your back. You better get up. Get up. Get back in formation. So it's a whole lot rough. And once you go in and you get out there to the muck, get out to the field, all kinds of bugs, bears, and all kinds of poisonous snakes. I didn't know that until I got down there. And they treat you like crap down there. So I know that if you're in prison, it's 10 times worse because you're going to always deal with the guards, plus you got to deal with the guys you're with.
Right, right.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't think
there's
gonna be no
crying. I mean, I've seen dudes cry, but I never understood it because once you get behind them bars, once you walk in that prison through them gates, you there. I mean, what are you crying for? You there. You know you got something to do, and that's try to get back out. And that was one of my focuses was after I got over, you know, the downright anger I had. I'm going to put it like that. The downright anger.
You know what? Honestly, you seem to be feeling very well, the anger thing right now, because
right.
I got my pistol over
here
in case you
want to. Right. No, I mean, I'm past that because I asked, you know, a high power to take that anger from me. And let me get out here and love my family. Because really, I was thinking in my mind the whole time, they don't care about me, you know, and they don't, you know. So,
but you have to care about yourself. That's the thing.
Right.
You have to start caring about yourself because I know that the little silly things that I've done in my life, I tried gang banging and silly stuff.
Right.
And I didn't care about nobody else. I didn't care what I was doing. It was just hurt. The individuals that's in front of me.
Right.
And that kind of carried over to if I had went the route you went, I think I'd be 10 times worse. But I had joined the military, and they began to channel that anger a different way and go ahead and guide me into, you got a mission. Let's go ahead and conduct this mission and get home safe.
Right.
Okay, so in prison, it's a little bit different. You got to go ahead and protect yourself at all times. Yeah, it's a whole lot different. Because I know if I had went through prison, I don't know where I'd be right now. Going through the military thing, it helped me a whole lot. It helped me channel a lot of my anger because I was really a really crappy individual early on.
Right. You said you asked the higher power to help you with your anger.
Right.
Then how did your behavior change after you asked the higher power to help you?
Because
how did it change? How did your behavior change?
I actually prayed for it, and then I started tuning my mind into, I want to change. I don't want to be this angry person that I am. I really want to change. It really starts within yourself. If a person want to do something, he got to want to do it. It ain't because, you know, your mom say or your dad say or your man say. It ain't none of that. It's, if you want it, then it's going to come if you really want it. If you want to change.
How far into your 20-year sentence before that came, when you finally went to the Creator and you said, help me?
About 11 years.
Woo. Wow. Okay. So you spent 20, but you spent 11 angry.
No, I can see you was 17 when you got incarcerated.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. So
yeah.
You know, I can see you're young at that time. Your mindset wasn't. It's like scattered.
Right.
But so 11 years. You know, some people might take 5 years, 11. But for you personally, it took you 11 years because by then you were what 20.
Almost.
17, 10 years, you're about 27, 28.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, it all depends on people.
On
but it took him 11 years. But
you
I think.
Know, and then, too, 11 years? Honestly, you got to really look at it because there's not a lot of people that still 11 years.
That's nothing.
Yeah, that's nothing. Right?
Some people still ain't mastered it, and they in their 50s and 60s. They still.
Still angry.
Off. Pissed right. off every day.
Yeah. 27, right. 27 is still young for him to, you know, direct his mind and say, hey, you know what?
Right.
I've been here 11 years, so I'm not going nowhere. Might as well forgive or forget or
right.
whatever. Some
right.
people do forget.
Let's work it out.
Yeah, let's
right.
work it out. So that's good because, man, 20 years, man, that's a long time.
Right.
I mean, that's 20 years, man. That's 20 years of your life.
Yeah.
And being in prison, and, you know, you have to deal this daily, every day, what, 23 hours?
Right.
24, you know, you get 24,
23
hours a
lot.
Yeah.
Get to that, get the normal day.
Man, that's hard.
You wake up, what time, okay.
What's your routine
okay.
like? What's your daily routine?
As far as like, all right, if you in population, you don't
break that
gotta,
down. What is population?
Okay, population is around other inmates.
Outside of the cell or in the cell?
No, it's outside of the cell. You know, y'all living in the same barracks. It'd be like 100 to a barracks or maybe 50. You know,
that's
population.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that's how
in
the military.
And they have different barracks. They have like 14 barracks. They have 14 barracks, and 15 and 16 is the Ag Sig barracks, and the East Building is the hole. That's where you go to the hole at.
Okay.
This at the Commons Unit. But I was like.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I was like trying to do what I could do in there because I know that it was getting real rough because I seen a lot of young cats come in there and they just happy to be there. Once they've been outside the bars, they come back and they happy to sit there and tell me, man, I had cars out there, I had this and I had that and I was doing, but why ain't you still out there? And I made a promise, you know, to myself and to the high power that I'm not going to be one of these cats that come back and explain to you what I was doing. I'm going to stay out there and keep doing what I'm doing. I'm not coming back to explain to you what I'm doing. You see it in the newspaper, I read about it.
Okay, now we was just getting ready to talk about what a daily day went like. So on a daily basis when you were angry, let's compare. On a daily basis when you were angry as opposed to a daily basis when you were starting to come out of the anger, how did the days differ?
Well, it's because I didn't react. See, some of the guards are put there to make you, you know, see if you really ready. And they'll do little stuff to you to see if...
Provoke
if,
you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
They'll try to provoke you and see if you're ready.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I used to be a fool for that.
So you would react every time.
Every time.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was just in me. But after I... you know, kind of got in tune with myself and had a conversation with that person inside me. And, you know, everybody got that person inside of them that they, you know, whether you want to talk about it or not, but, you know, it's you got to have control over self. Because if you don't never get control over self, you won't...
You're just blind.
Yeah.
Deaf, dumb, and blind.
Right, for sure. For sure.
Okay.
What time is
it? So, wait. I didn't finish the question.
Sorry.
I'm sorry. So a day when you were angry as opposed to a day when you started, when you finally said, I don't want to be angry anymore, how did those days differ?
Well, the days different, like, if a guard come through there and he, you know, kick my door while I'm asleep. You know, they do all that stuff that, you know, it's mine thing.
Mm-hmm.
And I come to learn that while I was there. And it was like when I stopped paying them attention when they do it, I feel better.
Wow. That's the turning point right there that I wanted to get to. Because before you would react and it would make them look good.
Yeah, because they finna write me up.
But you was feeling even more pain from it. So it was really a vicious cycle.
So even though the guards also do kind of silly things to the inmates,
I don't know
what they're doing that for. To provoke you, to irritate you. You know, because you're right there. I mean, jail is jail. It's already a harsh environment. And these stupid cops or stupid... The guards provoke you? I mean, what's
the
reason?
What's the reason for that? What's the nickname you have for the guards?
They just call them COs.
Okay, so you deal with what Tony was saying. They call them COs.
What's a CO?
CO, a correctional officer.
Oh, okay.
We'll just call them COs
for
short.
Yeah. But I guess as time goes by, like you say, you kind of got adjusted to these silly things that they do to provoke you. Or like you said, it's a mind thing that they do to you.
Right.
That's crazy. I mean, Rodney, man, I commend you, man. With 20 years, you came out pretty good.
Because
I know some, I mean, not personally, but just watching TV, somebody, they go crazy. Like, you know, this the people that comes out of the service, like Marine, Army, you know, they only been there 2-3 years after their service, and they get this they called mentally
disturbed.
Yeah, but you came out pretty good. I mean, you know, physically, mentally, you did all right.
Right.
Some of these some of these guys, they come out from prison or military service, they're not 100% no more, man.
Okay, wait. Okay, he did the prison thing. I did the military. I go ahead. I do see a psychiatrist. Okay, don't be talking crazy about it. I trained in going ahead blowing up stuff. So talking crazy.
No, but I mean, I don't know Rodney personally, but so far I see the guy. He turned out pretty good. After 20 years.
He's a guy, you know. That's something else. And my thing right now, I want to get back to that daily routine. What time?
There's 24 hours. You only got 1 hour of freedom.
What's the normal? What's the normal time you wake up? What's the normal wake up time?
All right. It's like, well, are you talking about incarceration or on lockdown? If you're on
two different times. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, well,
everybody day starts around 4 and 5. Everybody. Yeah, that's where you go eat.
Then we PT.
Then you go back to the barracks and you lay down to 7. And that's when they call 6:45. And you got to be at the gate. That's where you go to work at. Everybody go out to the gate and wait. And you know, remember when I was telling you about the wagons lined up and the horses and all that?
Horses in 2000 in the 1900s.
Yeah.
Wow.
Sound like a Western movie.
Yeah. Wow. Now you know I'm still curious about. That turning point, what happened through that day? Do you remember what happened the day that made you say, I'm sick of being angry?
Well, I wanted to just show myself that I wasn't caught up in the penitentiary, you know.
The jail here.
Yeah. I wanted to show myself that because it's like every time they came at me with it, I reacted.
Yeah.
You know. Every time they came at me with it, I reacted. And wait a minute, this is what they want to keep me here alone.
Mm.
And they got
so different. Now the light bulb is coming on.
Right.
Okay, that's what I was trying to get to. Because I mean, you got to understand, we got listeners that are listening. Even who knows what this show will go to? I don't know, but you know, it's the start of something big. May have an inmate that's in there that is still reacting to everything that the guard does to aggravate him or provoke him to anger.
Right.
You know,
and there's a lot of them in there like that.
Okay.
It's a lot of them. And that's what, them are the ones that's caught up in the penitentiary hype, which they don't care about the streets.
What do you mean about the streets as far as being
they don't care if they be outside or inside. They
just don't have no feelings about being a free person again.
Right.
Right. So at some point you decided, I'm angry. Okay, this has happened to me. I'm going to cure my anger, and I'm going to get out of here, and I'm going to remain a free man.
Right.
That's what you came to that conclusion. Right. Maybe not in those words, but.
Okay, I'm going to put it like this. It was like I seen so many brothers come in there, you know, Hispanic, black, and those was the most that was piling in.
Mm.
And when they get out, they're so happy to be out, you know, to go out on parole, and I be so happy for them. But when they come back, they act like they happy as they was before they got out.
So they were repeat offenders with no type of conscience about being free.
Right.
And remaining a free person.
Oh, I ain't got nothing but a little 6 months. You know, that's what they say. I got 6 months. I can do that standing on my head, get back out there, do the same thing. And, you know, stuff like that I drew from it. I made a promise to myself that I'd never be one of these cats to, you know, go out there and then come back just to explain how good I was doing when I was out there.
Wow. Incredible story. You got a lot of heart. I got to give it to you. Most people, once they're angry, they're just always angry. But at some point in every person's life, you got to say, I'm sick of feeling like this. Okay, let's go to a commercial break, Mr. Rock.
Yeah, let me... You sure? I had a whole lot of questions, but, you know...
Check it out, though. Are we live or what?
Yeah, we live. You know, I'm gonna go ahead and play this track real quick. Let me find something pretty decent.
I wanna ask one question, man. I mean, I know 20 years. Did you serve the whole 20 years, right?
Yeah.
Did you get like a parole because for your? You look like you behaved yourself when you were in there, man. Did you get a?
Oh no, I didn't get out on parole. I flattened my time.
Really?
I gave it to them like they gave it to me. Flattened.
Really? Did you think like, man, you know? I'm 17, 20 years, I got 20 years. Man, this is not for me. But did you, like, ask your, who was representing you, your lawyer, your adversary?
No.
You say that, hey, you know what? You know, I'm behaving here. I want to leave here in 10, 12 years instead of, you know, serving my 20 years.
I could have got out on parole, bro. You know, I could have paroled out.
You didn't accept it, or you didn't?
Every time I would go up for parole, like the first 2 years, they shot me down. And that was put some more anger on me because, see,
right.
I didn't have to do nothing but 7.5 years.
Right.
And they would have, I went up for parole, but I didn't make the board, you know. And it's like, that was cool. The second time I went up, I didn't make the board, so I just, you know, every time I...
Like let it go.
Yeah, every time I went up for the board, I just denied it, you know. Every time it was time for me, even when I had class, I denied it because I didn't want to get out on parole. You know, I'm going to go and do this here and get it on out the way and be through with it because I know I'm not coming back, you know.
Mm. So all them disciplinaries you got is what put you in there so long.
Right.
Wow.
Here, let's go take a break real quick. And this is True Chef Rob. I'm here interviewing Rodney McGowan, special host, Marie,
Eva,
and Tony is also going to be working with me.
Out in the street, they call it murder.
Welcome to Jamrock. Camp where the thugs them camp back. 2 pounder within a van box. It's in a your handbag. Your knob stack it in a your backpack. The smell of the your girlfriend contact. Some boy not know this. Them only come around like tourists on the beach with a few club sodas. Bedtime stories and pose like them name Chuck Norris. And don't know the real hardcore. Cause Sanders are no back to. It hugs them with where them got to. And voting twice to show. got to. Don't make them spot you unless you carry guns and lots to. A beer tough thing come at you when 10 stone man stop laugh and block off traffic. Then them wheel and pop off and them start clap it. With the pin file long and it a beat drop it. Police come in a jeep and them can't stop it. Some say them a playboy rabbit. Funny man a get dropped like a bad habit. Some a bad a post office, you don't have it. Rastafari stands alone. I'll come to jam rock. Hey. I'll come to jam rock.
Out in the street, they call it murder.
Poor people are dead at random. Political violence can't done. Pure ghosts and phantoms. The youth them get blind by stardom. Now the king of kings are called. Whole man to pick me. So why even no one if you with me? To see this operation sick me. Them suit not fit me. To win election them trick with them. Them don't do nothing at all. Come on, let's face it. I get our education's basic. And most of the youth them waste it. And when them waste it, that's when them take the guns, replace it. Then them don't stand a chance at all. And that's why enough little youth have up some fatmatic. With the extra magazine in a them back pocket. And a bleach at night time in a some black jacket. All who know lock glass at them a lock rocket. Then we pull you up a current like a shock socket. Then we run a road block which for the cops block it. And from now till a morning no stop clock it. If them run out around a broke back rocket. South side, north side.
I'll come to jam rock.
East coast, west coast. Yo.
I'll come to jam rock.
Cornwall, Middlesex and Surrey, y'all. Hey.
Welcome to jam rock. Out in the street, they call it murder.
Jamaica, Jamaica. Jamaica, Jamaica. No. Jamaica, Jamaica. No. Jamaica, Jamaica.
Welcome to jam rock.
All right, we're back. This is Truth, Chef Rob. And I got my guest here. This is Rodney McGowan, letting us know about his experience in the prison system in
what was that, Arkansas?
Arkansas.
What would you call that? The Arkansas Correctional Facility?
Yeah, it's that's what it's called, the Arkansas Department of Correction.
Mm. Okay.
You know, it was something that I wanted to kind of come back to, and I want to still get to that daily routine. Wake-up call is at 4 o'clock, 4 a.m., and I want you to go ahead and give that daily schedule.
All right, it's like the day starts from anywhere from 4 to 4:30.
Mm-hmm.
That's when you go to breakfast. You go eat breakfast. If you're locked down, they bring it to you on wheels. They bring your meals on wheels. Locked down, but if you're in general population, you have the privilege to go to the chow hall and eat with the rest of the inmates.
Privilege.
Yeah.
Wow, wow, wow.
Okay, so 4 to 4:30, and then after 4:30, where do we go? I want to get your daily routine down. That's what I'm trying to get.
Okay.
You from the time you wake up to the time you go to bed.
Alright, it's like you go to breakfast in the morning, and then you come back to your barracks and wait till about 7. Alright, 7 o'clock, they start, they get to school, they call the school, the people that got to go to school, they call them out first and let them go to school.
What school?
Okay, they got school on the inside of the prison. They, you know, give inmates a chance to get their education, the ones that didn't get education on the street. That's why 99% of them locked up, because they didn't have education. You know, there's a lot of people that's down there, and, you know, incarcerated, really all over the United States that's locked up and don't supposed to be locked up, you know. And you hear some of the stories from some of the guys, and they tell you different stuff. But back to what we was talking about, it's like they go to school, they call school, call you, go to school. If you don't show up for class, the teacher will write you up.
What time is the school call?
School call is at 7 a.m. in the morning. Then after they get all the school people out the way, then they start calling out the work details.
Do you have to have, like, is that one of those privileges, school call, going to school, or what is that one of those things?
For a lot of people, school was mandatory. Especially the ones that didn't have, you know, no GED or no kind of education.
They work with you, don't they? They work with
you? It was mandatory. You know, that's like people get in school just to keep from going to the field, out in the fields and working. People sign up for school to get a half a day off or a whole day.
Last time we did an interview and you were talking about doing the picking cotton. I was like, I ain't think they did that shit. Right,
they
did
that.
Yeah,
picking
cotton.
Didn't know
people did that
when
I back?
Yeah, you picking cotton, chopping cotton.
So how long did you go to school or go to work from 7 to what time?
Yeah.
You go to school from 7 to 11:45, and that's out at 12, and you go, like they give you a whole day, they give you an all-day lay-in for school. Then a half a day later on in the week, you off old squad for 2 days out of a week. A whole day and a half a day. Mm-hmm. Twice a week. You go, like, some people have school Monday all day and go again Wednesday half a day. Some people go, you just according on what your name under or what your class falls under.
Okay, so if you ate breakfast at 4:30, you went to school from to what, 12:45?
Yeah, you go to twelve, and then if you got the whole day school lay in.
Uh-huh.
You go back at 1:00.
When do you eat lunch?
When you come out of school at 12, you go straight to the chow hall and eat your lunch and go back.
So they feed you breakfast at 4:30 and then lunch at 12.
Right.
Wow.
And like, if you ain't a whole squad, they come in at 12. But the people that go to school, they eat around about 11:30, somewhere before the squads come in.
Who's
to
the
get
squad?
Them out. That's the whole squad. The people that work in the field.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they was home in the field.
Right. They chop grass.
I like that term, home.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, they drop grass and all kind of stuff, you know.
So you're busy. They keep you busy. I mean,
yeah.
From four to seven. That's 3 hours. So what were you doing between that day 4 to 7? I mean, okay.
Yeah, I mean, you got the privilege to go back to the barracks and stay up until they call whole squad. You can lay down and they're gonna holler, you know, if you're in population.
That's a lot of time. That's downtime. That three hours is a lot of time. A lot of stuff that happened.
Right.
So, you know, so were any people being injured at that point between that four?
Well,
seven?
Sometimes you have stuff going on, you know, like.
When I say injured, you know, people are going to get in fights because they got that downtime. People's looking at each other. People are looking at each other in the eyes saying, "Hey, look, I just don't like that guy there. This is my opportunity to go ahead and take care of business."
Right.
So that's a lot of time. 3 hours.
Right, and sometimes, you know, since it's been so early, you didn't never have no early morning, not too much, unless there was some beef started before it was locked down the next day, and then they'll continue it on at mm-hmm. breakfast, you know.
Just can't give it up, huh?
Yeah. That's how that goes.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Okay, so after the, it's 11:45.
Right.
Okay, so you lunch, and what time? Lunch is like from 12?
12 to 12:30.
30 minutes? They
whatever. The military is a little bit better. They're not going to give you an hour.
Yeah, they. I mean, you get a whole squad. It's like when they come in. If you're on whole squad, they come in. They stay until 1 o'clock.
Mm-hmm. They got a whole hour to, you know. Then they catch out by 1:15, 1:10. After school, go back to everybody they're supposed to go to school, go to school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and then they let the squads catch out together.
So, okay, what happened after lunch? What was your day like after lunch in the whole squad?
Well, okay, then that's just time you doing then. You know, you ain't nothing going on. You know, sometimes they have, like, they had an east and a west hall. Like, the east hall go to the gym one night, and the west hall go to the gym one night. Like, the west hall, it was like people with class. They got class one jobs and stuff, mm-hmm. like working the laundry,
the
kitchen.
What kind of hall?
Huh?
What did you say? What
the west hall.
Oh, west hall.
Yeah, okay. The west hall. And there's people, like, that got class, you know,
one.
Class one status, got jobs on the inside and on the outside.
Would you say those people probably was working towards getting out and staying out, or were they just going through the motions?
Going through. It was a lot of them, you know, the majority of the lifers, they was doing it, you know, with no problem.
Lifers?
Lifers, yeah.
That mean they have
people
a life sentence?
Yeah.
Wow.
And they was, like, going through it, and there was some of them that was just institutionalized, and anything they see you do, they tell it, you know, and not realizing that they give you more time to be in there. They just doing it because they feel like that's the right thing to do, tell on them, get them in trouble, and they ain't knowing that they helping the system out, keep you there. You know, so
you go to the gym from what time to what time? What time was dinner?
Okay, they feed last child when the whole squad come in. That'd be the last meal, which would be around 5.
So you had a meal at 5 and then have another meal for 10 hours till 4:30 in the morning.
Right.
So okay. That is kind of deep. For me, being in
the
chef.
Was there a lot of food? Did they give you a lot of food? Or just
no,
enough to
just,
keep you alive?
Yeah, just
enough
just
to keep
enough.
You alive.
And then it was like the food that they served there, sometimes it didn't have no flavor to it, and you didn't eat it. I mean, if you did, you had a cast iron stomach. You know, that's all I can say, because it was some stuff that they was feeding us. I mean, all I go to the kitchen do is just eat some bread and drink a lot of water, because I didn't have no money, you know, to buy commissary and stuff like that, till I learned how to, you know, hustle and struggle in the penitentiary, you know, like everybody else do, you know, to get money that don't got money coming in.
What are one of the hustles, man? What are one of the hustles? I thought about that. What are one of the hustles?
Okay, it's like,
My cousin was telling me about, he was another guy
there
that was washing other people's underwear.
I thought, you know, once you're in jail, I mean, you won't be able to hustle because you're in jail.
Well, that's a way.
Yeah,
that's a way.
I mean, it's practically everything you got on the street for drug-wise, you got it on the inside.
Really?
You know, and
is it more expensive? It's way more expensive.
Yeah, it depends on how.
Well, okay, it's expensive. You know, you don't have to always have that. You have to have some of value.
Right.
It's like that old time barter system where, hey, look, I don't have cash, but we can trade a service for something.
Right. They do it with commissary. You can give them like $5 worth of commissary. You try to get you a nigga. You know, $10. You know, that's the way it goes.
What kind of drugs did they have in the system?
I mean, like, weed, cocaine.
In the system, they have weed.
Cocaine.
And they arrest you on the street for weed.
Yeah, I mean, you know,
it don't
stop. It don't stop. It don't stop. And people think it do, but it don't stop. The drugs, they hope, you know, you got the guards bringing it in because they making good money.
I was about to ask you that.
I mean, in jail, you know, drugs, weapons, you can't go in there because they got the detection, they have dispensers.
Right.
Who brings them in unless, I was just about to say, the cops,
right,
your relatives,
right,
your family.
Right.
But they
but
get
see,
checked
people,
before they get in, right?
Yeah. Some people, it was like, some people, they go on a visitation yard
right,
and they, you know, bring their little stuff in, stick their stuff in their behind or whatever, you know, and bring it on in. You know, that's how they get their,
yeah,
but I never had no visits, so I didn't
right,
never
but
go
you can
on
get
a
them
visitation
anywhere,
yard. Place. But you can, you know, like, it was always some police that was there that's willing to make that money because
right,
it was a lot of money, and I'm talking about real green dudes be having, they go and get it on the visitation yard.
I didn't know that.
You know?
I didn't know this is
like
going
that
on inside, man.
Yeah.
I didn't know you could make money while in prison.
Yeah.
Wow.
Right.
It's a hustle. It's a hustle.
I mean, you know, and until...
Gotta make a buck.
I didn't have nobody writing me and sending me money, so I went to the plasma center. They had a plasma center on the inside.
Right.
So they give you $7 every time you go
to donate.
You donate twice a week. It's supposed to be $10, but they take $3 off for the inmate welfare fund, so they say. But I believe they pocketing that money too. But, you know, they said it go on like... You can fill out a commissary list to get deodorant, shampoo, and, you know, stuff,
right,
you, hygiene stuff, but you can't order food, you know. But this is money that I done bled for, and I can't order me a bag of chips if I'm hungry, you know.
Now, I didn't know you can hustle in the prison.
Yeah, but,
so,
but you
okay,
can't.
So you make the money.
Right?
So you actually put money in your pocket, or someone
yeah,
gives you money?
I mean, yeah, you can. I mean, they have crap games in there with like $14,000.
Hey,
you know.
Hey, wait a minute. See, when I was in the military, you know, you make
money.
Now, when we was on the, like, especially when I was on ships, okay, because I did the Army and I did the Navy.
Right.
And when we would go here, they would. At first, I didn't understand because when I was new to the boat, I didn't understand.
Right.
And they say, hey, look, we're gonna have a prayer meeting. Prayer meeting?
Right, that's what they call it.
What is it all about? Because
everybody on their knees.
Everybody on their knees.
Yes.
We're going to have a prayer meeting. So,
yeah.
So that was another
yeah,
thing for
yeah,
a crap game.
Yeah,
right,
yeah.
Right, because
right.
At first I didn't know.
Hope.
I was like, okay,
yeah,
we're going to have a prayer meeting. So when I show up, I see everybody yelling, cussing, and screaming, and everybody got drinks blowing. I'm like, wait a minute. Okay. You know, I'm not into the church thing, but, you know, I showed up here because I go here and support people so they don't want to come back. And everybody on their knees yelling, cussing, screaming. And they just, one of them, ow, bow, you know, ow, bow. You know, I'm like, oh,
who are the guards?
Yeah. You know, yeah, so it's pretty much, it's similar. It's, a lot of things are similar to what goes on in the military because there used to be so many guys down there. And we was on a boat, we'd be way, way out. I mean, we would be like 300, 400 miles off the coast. And all these people down, all these guys down there shooting dice and everybody got a fistful of money. And it's pretty much the same thing. So when they tell you have a prayer meeting, the first thing I thought about is, okay, well, I'm going to get a Bible. Everybody down there gambling. And there'd be a lot of people down there with their money.
Wow.
Ain't that much different?
I mean,
so that was a part of your prison life as well.
Right, right. I mean, I don't went to
meeting.
Crap. I don't went to crap games to where
called
it's like, what, prayer meetings? I don't went to prayer meetings when they had like $1,300, $1,400, $1,500 in the crap game.
That's right.
Inside the prison.
That's right.
You know. And the police,
this cash with you?
Huh?
This cash with you, actually?
Yeah, I mean, amongst the people that's gambling, it's about that much money in the crap game. I mean, I done been in there. I done took like $10.
You can trot around the planet or watch it on the news. Somebody's getting shot, the weatherman's looking confused. He's reporting to a nation full of zombies, strung out on Starbucks and stitched up and bitching Amber Crombie. Don't get it mixed up, me too, I have insomnia. At times, but don't be walking around here blind, feeling all around, trying to find the righteous path. It's appealing when I rhyme, so every time I hit the masses, you know the common folk, blue collar, day-to-day workers that squeeze a dollar so they maybe can swallow a little, not a lot of, just enough to fill that bottle. But it's $1 million a gallon for some gas to get to work tomorrow. That's if you've got a gig and can't swim in carpool. You rob Peter to pay Paul to make do, make you wanna write a note and take a pistol to that bank too, then pass it to the teller, but you know better.
They're trying to tell us to stay strong, but every day we losing jobs. While the clock out the Beverly Hills,
the great debaters debate about who's the greatest MC. Subject matter don't matter because the verse is empty. No proof of thought, nothing for the brain to digest. So I guess it'd be a bat who can jab talk the best. But I give them light and like the traffic I direct, inspiring their life like they was actors on my set. As if I was a pilot, take them higher than the jet. I'd be a liar if I wasn't sick and tired of this mess.
They're trying to tell us to stay strong, but every day we're losing jobs.
Every day.
How you doing? We had some technical difficulties. We're going to go ahead and continue our interview with Rodney McGowan, Eva Marie. I love saying
Eva Marie, that's me.
Go ahead. Give it on here. Tell them where you at,
Eva Marie. I'm a hairdresser for 24 years. I got much love for my Eva sisters. You can log on to www.divabeautyunique.com. Check me out. can also see the star of the show. He's on there as the male makeover, Ebony male makeover, that is. And we're going to get back to the question I had. We want to reach the youth. And you said you were guilty by association. What do you want to say to the kids? How do you avoid going to jail? What do you have to pay attention to?
Well, what I have to say about that is kids now need to just go and educate themselves. Because if they, with lack of education, you ain't gonna give yourself a chance at life, because life brings stuff that's educated to you so you can help yourself. But if you out there just doing stuff just to be doing it because it's cool or being that.
Okay, I'm a hairdresser. Show them the mirror. Show them the stuff that they're doing that will give them a life sentence or a 20-year sentence or a sentence period. What stuff are they doing?
Well, like killing up each other, robbing, stealing, all stuff like that, for some people, it's the way of life, and you can't change that because it's their way of life. They was raised up like that. But now, like I was saying earlier about the respect started home for the kids, if more parents start respecting their kids, like sitting there drinking and smoking in front of them, I'll stress that to the day I leave this earth, because that's why I believe it's a lot of kids that don't respect their parents to this day, because they do grown folks stuff in front of their kids like they ain't even there.
What's grown folks stuff? Let's put it on the line.
Okay, grown folks stuff is like drinking, smoking. You don't do that around kids.
Smoking what, cigarettes?
You're smoking cigarettes, weed, or what have you, whatever. You don't do that in front of kids. You're not allowing the kid a chance enough to be a kid, because he looked there and see his daddy or his mama doing this. He, in his mind, this right here cool when I get big.
Mm-hmm.
This is cool when I get big. And it's not. It's not.
Think that the lifestyle of a thug starts at home when the parents are doing what they do, or ignoring or neglecting the children in the home, or disrespecting or not respecting at all the children?
Right.
Okay, so it all begins there.
Right.
So what do you say to a child who has a thug father that's incarcerated?
I'm glad you brought that up. I want you to finish that. Let me show you what I saw on the news the other day. These two guys, one was the kid's father. The kid was 7 years old.
The kid was 7 years old, and the kid, they gave him a tattoo, a gang symbol, on his hip. Okay, the father held him down while the tattoo artist put a tattoo on his hip. Okay, to go ahead and do pretty much a pre-initiation to get him too involved in the game. What do you say to parents like that?
Well, it was the way they was brought up, and they feel like that's their seed, so they should put some of that on the inside of them, which is not right. A kid really deserves a chance to do what he want to do in life. You know what I'm saying? And for what I mean by live his life.
Live his life.
All his life. Because there's a lot of them, there's a lot of them in the city dying all over. Kids dying.
Again, let me go ahead and let everybody know that we're in Chicago, so we hear about kids dying
every day.
And that's just the ones that make the news.
Right.
There are a lot of kids that go ahead and being abused and this and that, but a lot of the gang violence, that's taking a lot of kids' lives. As I got older, I see that, hey, look, there was really no need for no gang. For in my family, there were so many of us. We
we constituted as a gang because we would show up in force. But I just don't understand why a lot of these kids would go ahead and choose the street life over their family life.
Right.
So that thing introduces them to what's going on, what's coming up pretty soon, and ultimately prison.
Right.
You know, and
it's either prison or the graveyard.
Wow.
And that's the only result that they leaving us now. It's either prison or the graveyard. And if a lot of these youngsters out here don't get the message that prison is always gonna be room for you. So whenever you get ready to go, you just keep doing what you're doing.
It's always gonna be room.
It's always gonna be room for
you. You know, it's amazing that in this country, where they lock up more people than any other country on the planet,
right.
and compared to all these other countries, I don't have the stats right now, but I just keep hearing it, and I've seen some websites and some news articles and stuff in the paper. But they would rather lock you up here than go ahead and try to go ahead and deal with what the problem is. And a lot of the problem is that, you know, these kids don't have the education system.
Right.
It's messed up. If they go through the education system, they don't have a job. So what the alternative is? They need to go ahead and survive, and they're going to do whatever it takes to survive. And if I got to crack you in the head so I can go ahead and get a meal next day, I'm going to do it.
Right.
And a lot of people don't seem to realize that and stop putting money into the prison system, put money into the kids. This is your future. Because, like I said about the kids cracking you in the head, these young people will go ahead and crack your old butt in the head to go ahead and take your wallet. Just today, I've seen a thing where these two young guys were attacking this guy in the wheelchair. They were taking his money and robbing him. The thing is put that money into the youth instead of going ahead and trying to build another prison. You don't need no more prison. You got enough prison systems here. They got prisons here in the U.S., that are unoccupied. They got prison systems. They got prisons here in the U.S. And they were talking about one prison where they're talking about sending all the people from Guantanamo Bay to put over there because there's nobody in that prison. Nobody in that prison. My thing is you don't need another prison. Then again, there's also the private prison system, which
right.
is not controlled by the state, which really abuses individuals. They're going in and getting people in to work for free. What's the point of going ahead and locking so many people up? You know, the greed in this country has gotten really, really ridiculous, and it's hurting a lot of people. And the people that it's hurting, in my opinion, the people that it's hurting are the minorities, the youth. And if you don't recognize that, these could be the same individuals that get to go ahead and take your life, take a family member's life, or one of your best friends' life. Do something with these kids. There's a lot of energy being misdirected. Do something with these kids. I don't think they should be keep ignoring these kids.
Right.
How do you feel about that?
I mean, I feel the same way. I feel like parents should communicate more with their kids instead of just, you know, letting them come in from school and go straight outside. You know, don't talk to them about their day in school.
Yeah.
Or
that's one thing I do with my boys. I try every day when I see them. First thing I ask them is, how was your day? What happened in school?
Right.
You know, Tony, you do that. You know.
Oh, yeah.
I'm pretty sure you do that. You did that too, huh? But the thing about it is that how do you go ahead and implement that? How do you put that in play? How do you go ahead and say, hey, look, we need to pay attention to these kids because you ain't going to be healthy enough to go ahead and deal with yourself? One thing I want to tie into this real quick is that they talk about the Social Security system. If nobody's paying into it, how are you going to go ahead and get something out of it? You know what I mean? You know
right.
what I'm saying? So if you're not going ahead and making sure these kids are not going ahead and being productive members of society, how can they go ahead and pay taxes and go ahead and help you out? That was the thing in a lot of cultures when they go ahead and have a bunch of kids. Kids are an asset. They have a bunch of kids to go ahead and take care of their families. And take care of the family and make sure they're better off and the parents are better off. A lot of people don't seem to recognize. What do you think about that,
Ryan? When it all boils down, it started home.
At home.
It started home. And if you can't, if if you can't seek no understanding with your siblings, then they're gonna be out of control because you ain't got no, you don't have any understanding with them. And they feel like if you ain't trying to get no understanding with me, I don't want no understanding with you. You know what I'm saying?
That's the child's mind.
Right, that's the child's mind. If my parents don't want to get no understanding with me, I don't want no understanding with them. I'm just living my life until whatever, whatever.
Okay, so and you saying that we're breeding these thugs. Are we breeding these thugs at home?
Breeding.
Like in breed.
I understand what you're saying, but it's true, but it's hard.
Well, this is a hard topic that we're talking about.
Yeah, you breed them, and that's... I agree with you. He said
it all starts at home.
We didn't
have the parental role model.
Mm-hmm.
So we need more positive parental role models.
Yeah, exactly.
He said, then when they can't get the understanding at home, they go to the street, and this is where all the crime begins.
Oh, yeah. Right. Before you answer that, it's sort of like... I grew up without a father. And it's one of those things where, hey, look, your friend is telling you, hey, this is how you should treat your girl. This is how you should treat your mom. And 100% of the times,
they're wrong.
I won't say 99, 100% of the times, they're wrong.
Right.
Right? Ain't that right, Marie?
Yeah.
They're wrong. Because once you go ahead and you get with a female, they're wrong.
Mm-hmm.
So when you go ahead and you deal with, in terms of how to conduct yourself out in society, the person that you were listening to, they know. So, what would be your advice? Go ahead and tell these individuals, hey, this is the way to go. This is how you should conduct yourself.
Well, I mean, it's like, boys, the kids go,
mm-hmm.
I mean, hey, it ain't nothing else I could say other than it started on, you got to have some kind of home guidance. If a young man or a young lady turned to the street, then that's another child lost.
Mm-hmm.
Because the streets is a revolving door to the fast life.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can't, they can't get that at home, what they really want, or you step up and be the parent that you should be to your kids, then you wouldn't have to worry about them turning to the street. And some of them do it because of the company that they hang around have a bigger influence on them because of the props that they got in the street.
Mm.
And the props that they have in the street is like, don't nobody mess with him. He bad, this here and that there. And really, it ain't even about that. It's about living your life and get your education and try to do something productive with your life.
Let me halt you for a minute.
I think that's production.
The thing that really bugged me, being of African descent in this country, is that going through the school system, the public school system, is that everything is geared up toward glorifying the European kings and queens. It didn't teach me nothing about myself. And that began to go ahead and take effect on me early on. Once I got into the military and I started going to college, I started going ahead and realizing the accomplishment of different African societies.
Right.
And if you pay attention, you go ahead and do your research, you can dispute this whatever if you want to. But everything you see here came off what was learned. We're dealing with the Egyptians, the Romans came in, or whatever, and they built their societies. And what I'm trying to get at to is that there was nothing there for me in school. I didn't see nothing to go ahead and say, hey, look, I can be like such and such. That wasn't a reflection of me. You were talking about European kings and queens, but you weren't talking about different African kings and queens. I'm a black man in America.
Right.
And so it wasn't
giving me any incentive to go ahead and go further, because they just say, look, you popped up here as a slave. Your ancestors popped up here as a slave, and that was it. It didn't give me no history. So that began to affect me. I know there's a lot of other brothers and sisters out there that feel the same way, but that was a negative thing.
Right.
They tried to go ahead and tell me that we made no positive contributions to the world. And that started to do something to me, so I started going and feeling, hey, look, you know, my close friends, some of the ones I hang out with. The guys are going sticking up robbing and doing other stuff. Those are the ones I need to hang out with. Because that's all we ever been. That's what the school will teach me. Schools are not really always positive, you know, especially public school. I don't know about private school. I've never been. But the public school was never there for me, like they should be.
Well, what I'm saying is, it's like education, period.
Yeah.
You know, because to have education, if you really got education,
mm-hmm.
you won't make so many silly decisions
mm-hmm.
that could get you in places like the penitentiary or jail. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's if you giving yourself, with education, you giving yourself a choice of thought. You know, to make that choice of, do I want to do this? Or, not about this. I'll just do the fool and go and do it. Do the fool and go and do it.
You know? Yeah, doing the fool can get you a whole lot of
right. problems. You know what? Also, you brought up the, like Arnold Schwarzenegger, he's got this program in California, the after school program.
Right.
Well, you know, you're saying about we should have a role model, which is true, our parents.
Right.
But, like, in your situation, you didn't have no father.
Right.
So you didn't have no father figure. So I think sometimes, or if you do, maybe both the son, the kids, and the parents should go to that after-school program.
Yeah, but
so this way they can also teach the parents, because you...
The rental classes, which we talked about in our last show.
Oh,
right.
I wasn't there. Because you need to educate the parents sometimes. Some of these parents, too, they're not... So the kids only emulate what the parents do. Like,
right.
you know, you can't smoke in front of them, you cuss in front of them. So they pick up on what you do.
Right.
So I think also the parents need to go through the program themselves.
Yeah, you know.
The family, the nucleus of the family, the kids. I think they need to teach also the parents, because when you're a kid, you don't know any better, right?
Right.
You only emulate what you see.
Right.
Monkey
right.
see, monkey do, right?
Yeah.
Right.
Shouldn't it be illegal so the dumb parents go ahead and have kids and you're stupid, you don't have kids?
You know what, man?
there
was a program like that where they were making jokes that they should have like a level or a scale, or, you know, you should be a parent, but you can't be a parent because you're only good at so-and-so, whatever, your educational level. So... I think to me, if I was a governor or some kind of senator of a country or a state,
parental class?
Yes,
yes,
bring the parents also, educate them.
Would
because
you say, Mr. McGowan, though, based off of what Tony has said, because that's a great point when
yeah.
you're talking about the parental classes, would you say that? The parents are in a selfish mode or feeling of victimization, like they don't care? Because I do a lot of women.
Right.
And I see what type of value system they have. And usually it's about what they can put on their back. You know, the rocker wear, the baby fat, the all the name brands.
Right.
They want to try to keep up with that, and they think that that's good parenting if they can put their child in some gear that has a brand name on it,
right.
you know, and it's so far away from the real issue and what we really need to deal with, you know, because it's not about what you put on your back, what's in your heart, because here's where all that thought process begins, you know, what do you say to the kids, again, when they know that their parents are either selfish or either have some issues with drugs or issues with prostitution or issues with all types of things.
Okay, I'm going to put it like this. You have a lot of young mothers out here. You know, young parents.
How young are you talking?
I'm talking like from ages from 14 to 20. Of mothers. And these kids growing up, and these, they got mothers that ain't even through, you know, going through their little grown thing or their teenage years, you know what I'm saying? To be a mother.
Right.
You see what I'm saying?
So back to the parental classes.
Right, that's what I'm saying. So they have kids. The younger mothers, they don't know how to be mothers. They want to be mothers at first, but when the baby get here, they don't want to, you know, that they go drop it off at grandmama house.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They drop them off at grandmama house, and that gets to a kid. Wait, this is my mama dropping me off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, every chance she gets, she dropped me off at grandma.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So this woman don't care about me.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
That's when they rebel.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And that starts a spark.
Exactly.
That starts a spark.
So that's why I was saying parental needs
classes,
to be
right. That's, educated themselves.
Yeah.
That's right.
So the parental classes, for me, I agree with it. Especially when they set the age level at 18 to go ahead and say you're an adult at 18, I think if you go ahead and you're pregnant and you're part of that young parenting scheme under 18, it should be mandatory that you go through something like that. How you feel?
Well, that'll be a good solution.
That's a step one.
Because a lot of times you see that a lot of these, especially kids raised in these impoverished areas, I think it should be mandatory because a lot of times they're not only dependent on their parents, they're dependent on the system. So they want to get they're going to get involved in the welfare system. It should be mandatory. Hey, you go through some kind of parenting class. How you feel about that?
Well, I feel very strongly about that. That should go down because it's a lot of lost young mothers out here. And if they don't grab a hold to what they got, which is they see, it's going to be a lost seed, you know. And when your seed be lost, they end up in the street life, going through stuff that I done went through, you know.
So that's the beginning of the jail hell cycle begins at home. Solution-oriented is where we need parental classes to prevent, because here jail. I'm going to stop neglecting my family. I'm going to take care of my kids. I don't care if I got to work at McDonald's. I don't care if I got to mop floors, clean toilets. I'm going to be there so that my son will know that jail hell is not the place to be.
You know, it was something that I...
Are we back?
Yeah, we're back. You know, Malcolm X said something at first, while back. I won't say it first, but he was one of the ones who was totally against the welfare system in the black community. And what he was saying made a lot of sense. It's going to go ahead and hurt us. And it has. And he was totally against it, and he was like, this integration, it's going to really, really much hurt us. We need to go ahead and do things to go ahead and sustain ourselves. And shortly thereafter, when a lot of people start going toward the welfare system, you've seen that here it was 70% of the black males were in the household. Today, 70% of the black males
are incarcerated.
So we need to go ahead and look at that and examine that a lot more. because these a lot of these individuals are the ones going ahead and putting us, making us look bad.
That's right.
I know a lot of agents, okay, and I see that some of the guys that go ahead and get involved in this system, because I live in California, and I see a lot of agents being involved in it, a lot of Filipinos.
Yeah.
A lot of Filipinos that go ahead and they slowly begin to go ahead and get like that. That's some sick stuff. Because you go ahead and you get involved in this system. Once you get involved in the prison system, it takes away from the family.
Right.
And these individuals,
it melts the family down.
It bleeds the family like something terrible.
Yeah.
And once you get involved in that system, they go ahead and the ankle bracelet, you know, whatever. They want to keep their hooks into you. It's not so much to go ahead and to reintroduce you to society, to go ahead and to rehabilitate you. It's to go ahead and it's a formula to go ahead and keep you in the system so other individuals can profit. Mm-hmm. Once you go into prison, don't think that it just stops there. Individuals are making money off it. The thing that I really don't like is that the judge made money. Everybody in the court system made money.
Right.
What's it called? The correctional officers, they make money. Praying. Please let there be some overtime. They making more money. Individuals, I'm a caterer in the chef. Caterers, a lot of people go ahead and be doing the food. They want to go ahead, hey, keep the prisons open. Let's go ahead and do that. They want to make, it's all about making money. Not to go ahead and rehabilitate individuals. It's all about making money.
Right.
So what they don't realize is that you're not going ahead and taking that money and putting it back into the youth again.
Mm-hmm.
These are the same individuals that can come back and go ahead and bust your head, hurt you, your family, whatever. My point is that the money is being spread around to go ahead and deal with greedy, fat people.
Mm-hmm.
Keep people fat and go ahead and make them fat. What are your suggestions on... not just going, so how do you go ahead and let everybody know that this is what's happening? This is what you are being a part of. You go ahead and doing silly stuff out here, you're feeding into the system. Well, you're going to go ahead and be locked up. Well, individuals are going to go back home to their nice warm bed. Well, you got to go ahead and be in this, you know, 2x2. I'm going to call it a 2x2. I know it ain't that.
Right.
But it seems like that after a while.
Right.
How do you go ahead and stop being silly, go ahead and feeding into the system?
Well, I can say, you know, I can't speak on nobody else. All I can do is
how you survived.
You know what I'm saying?
Right,
because
exactly.
I've been in the system, and I was in there for 20 years. And I've been out for almost over 3 years now. And I surrounded myself this time with positive people that's, you know, on a mission. Like, see, my mission is I want to make a difference before I leave this earth.
Okay.
You know,
okay.
And that's my mission.
That sounds good.
You know, and if somebody don't like me for that, my brother or my sister, I pray for you. But I'm finna do something that I want to do, and that's make a difference. And if I could touch one child, like I said, I'm very happy.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
I'm very happy. That's the way I see it, man.
It's a rough thing out here. Okay. Yeah. Wow. This was a good show. You got drinks.
Good show. Tony asked good questions. I asked good questions. You asked good questions.
We
had Chris here for a minute. We're about to go do some time. You know, doing time is not the beautiful thing to do.
Right.
I don't care how you look at it. It's just not.
Right. We're gonna. This is our weekly segment.
Right.
And hopefully we can increase the segment. We're trying to go ahead and get more people involved. We want, Ronnie, I want you to go ahead and give some positive. This is what we should do. At the end of each show, which we're coming to the end, I want you to go ahead and give some positive thought. You know, each time.
Right.
Give some positive thought to, you know.
Word of wisdom.
Yeah, words of wisdom. Words of wisdom. Right. How you feel that, hey, look, what can keep individuals around you out of prison, especially your individuals listening. What do you think that you should go ahead and put out there to go ahead and keep people out of the system? You know, not just education is a thing.
Right.
But, you know, we know that.
Mm-hmm.
Education is key. A lot of people say that.
Right.
Anything else you can add to that?
Well, I mean, what else I can add to that is, like, our young brothers and sisters need to make better choices at what they do.
Mm-hmm.
And for us, like, you know, there's nothing wrong with thinking a little bit. Don't have somebody think for you. That's how you get into, you know, things that you can't get out of.
Mm-hmm.
But when you think for yourself, and then you get into something that you can't get out, you can't be mad at nobody but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
I get you.
You feel me?
I get you. You put yourself into that, don't go ahead and blame it on nobody else.
Right.
Be responsible.
Right. But
accept responsibility.
Right. Give yourself a chance to make that decision, though. You know, just don't go out there and do the fool. Give yourself a chance to make that decision.
I like that, do the fool. Well, David Marie, I want you to go ahead and put them on another plug in for yourself. Go ahead and let everybody know where you at.
We're at downtown East Dundee, and we're online now with www.divabeautyunique.com. And you can see some of the faces. You know how you put a voice with a face? You can see my face. You can see Mr. Rodney's face. And we're going to keep on sailing from here.
You go.
We're going to blast Rob, Tony.
Yeah, Tony's also my co-host for my cooking show. So we'll be putting out these cooking videos in a little while.
Right.
You know, these instructional videos and as such. And soon come, as they say in the Caribbean. They'll be coming out here real soon. We're working on it. We're trying to go ahead and put all the pieces in place. We just started working on some stuff. So, Tony, go ahead, give your thoughts and views and, you know, and put a plug in for yourself.
Well, you know, this is my first time as a live show, you know how it is when it's first time.
Right.
You get nervous, you don't know what to ask. And sometimes you think you're asking stupid questions, but, you know, it's just getting my feet wet. I like the show. I think maybe next time I'm more prepared.
Because, we're all
you know,
getting our feet wet. It's just our...
Bob just called me. I mean, he just said, hey, come on over. I didn't know he was going to interview me live, you know. So maybe I would have giving myself more preparation, you know.
We're going to have a good show.
Oh, yeah. Like I said, this is my first time, but next time I'll be more prepared. Maybe I have more subject to talk about. And,
oh, no, you were on it, man. That's cool.
Yeah,
you
asked a good question.
I thought it was going to be a cooking show, man. I was surprised that you brought something out of my...
Tone. We started doing
that's
live.
Right. Well, you know what they say about live show, anything goes, right? So I didn't expect this tonight. I thought it was about cooking. You know? But it's good. I learned a lot from you, Rodney and Marie.
Yeah.
And hopefully this is going to be an ongoing thing.
Yeah.
You know.
Tony was my boy, man. I knew Tony when I was in high school.
Wow.
No. You know what? He said he knew me, but I didn't know him.
Yeah.
But we went to the same school.
My sister had a crush on him and
his
brother.
Yeah, I know his sister, but I don't know this guy.
He knew my sister, but he didn't know me. Hey, man.
Well, man, I'm telling you, I worked at the post office I'm still am, but when I started working there back in 95, and this guy approached me, he said, man, you look familiar, you know why? You were the only black, 80% black school.
Wow.
And that's Orr High School. I don't know if you're...
Oh, yeah, that's from my side of town.
Is that
I'm
right?
The west side.
Yeah. Chicago Avenue and Pulaski.
Yeah.
Man, I'm telling you,
right.
I graduated.
Wow.
I made
so
it.
You got a feeling for how we
yeah,
acted.
Man, I'm
you
telling you, the brothers taught me a lot.
Yeah.
Oh, let me tell you something else about Tom.
What's up?
Tom can hoop. We went to
school.
Yo, you know what, though?
They just shocked me. I was like, these boys, these Filipino boys can ball.
I'm telling you, man. The white boys got kicked out, man. The brothers kicked them out because, you know, it's, like I said, 80% brothers, you know.
Yes,
and then the Spanish,
Man, the Spanish, they don't mess around. They fight back.
Yeah.
So some stayed, some left.
Yeah.
But the Filipinos, there's only maybe a dozen of us, man. but you know what, though?
That's that many.
Yeah, we're just a handful. But you know what we did, though? You know, there's a stereotype about Asians, you know.
Yeah, always.
Yeah, when you say Asian, you can be Chinese, Japanese.
When I saw them,
but Filipino, see, back then, they don't know what Filipino, man. Filipino? You're Chinese.
Yeah.
But what made us stand up out of the crowd, because we know how to deal with the brothers.
Yeah.
Man, we play basketball like the brothers, man.
Mm-hmm.
We shoot craps, man. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so you knew a little bit of martial arts, so when it's time about, you know, saving our ass over there, man, we fall back. So,
yeah.
And they said, at that time, Bruce Lee was a big thing.
Right.
See, I graduated in 79. So,
did you?
Yeah, from 75
right.
to 79. So,
you
yeah.
look well,
because oh,
I
you,
came out
thank
in
you.
78.
Is that right?
Yeah.
At Orr?
Not Orr.
Oh,
I went
okay.
to Jones Commercial.
Okay, well, that's not
far. Everybody tried to get down there. I was like, look at all
yeah.
the honeys down there.
Yeah. But anyway, we survived because, you know what, we
Wait.
Played a game. Well, the brothers, like I said, the brothers taught us how to play ball. I mean, we knew how to play ball, but, you know, playing
oh,
with
no,
the brothers,
no,
man.
They were good in there.
They were good. I mean.
They were good in there. I was shocked.
Wow,
they
we
had
good.
Me watching them. I was like, where did
yeah.
he come from?
And,
yeah.
and so we survived, man, those 4 years. So that's why you probably said, man, this
brothers,
guy is,
so.
You know, all right, man, you know. And I dated a couple
well,
of sisters,
you, man. Well, then, you had the seed back in that time.
Yeah, it was difficult. Man, I'm telling you, we got bullied, man. Believe me, we got.
Oh,
bullied.
I know. I saw. I watched.
You know, man.
I
got bullied, man. But we
wasn't
stuck around.
Y'all in the neighborhood, and then when I seen y'all, when y'all was every time we came to Piccolo.
Yeah.
Piccolo, we came play behind the O a lot of times. I seen y'all. Then I seen like I think your brother was on the freshman squad for
uh-huh.
a while. And I was like, that's boy good.
That's
boy
yeah.
good.
So you know we.
That boy good.
Well, we got a little bit of soul in our blood, man.
Everybody got soul only if they know it.
Right, exactly. How you use it, how you use it,
if
right.
you tap into it, it's there.
You just got to cultivate it.
That's right.
But you know what? We survived, and that's how we picked up, you know, the style, how
yeah,
we dress,
yeah,
how we farm,
yeah,
how to...
Yeah. We all get it from
yeah.
the brothers, right?
Yeah.
All right.
But anyway, Robert said he knew me, but I didn't see him while I was there. I was there for 4 years. You only there, what, 2 years?
Yeah, I was only there 2 years, and we bounced around, and ultimately I wound up in St. Louis, in Honolulu, in Hawaii.
So how did you run into
at the post office.
At the post office,
I
was over there.
No, the one in Palatine, the big
Palatine.
One.
Oh, you was working there, too?
I was working
yeah.
there when they went.
Oh, okay.
When they,
this guy tapped me on my shoulder and said, man, I know you, man. Where? I said, do you know me? I said, no, I don't know you. We went to school together. I said, wait a minute, man. I know all the brothers that went here. I went to Orr, but then he told me he left a little bit earlier, right?
Yeah.
77, 78.
Yeah, I left there, and then I went to Proviso West, and then my mom had hooked up with my dad, and they sent me to Hawaii for 6 months to go and graduate from school over there.
So that's how he saw me, but I knew his sister, but I didn't know that.
Yeah, everybody knew my sister. She had a big old booty and everything.
Yeah,
and
you know my sister.
Hey. But that's my show, and thanks for tuning in, and have a good evening. Thanks.
What a small world, huh?
You know what? Yeah, I just realized you got this thing got a USB on it. Now do with it. I just heard it. This thing got a USB on it. Let me throw this thing in it real fast. Can I do it real quick?
Yeah, go ahead.
Now, how can we download the show? Do I need to bring a CD by
here?
Yeah, that's right. They're
going to keep getting better.
You wanna
we got a good crew here.
Yeah,
everybody's bouncing off of what's being said, and we're tying it all together, but we're still moving forward with where we're trying to go with this.
Yeah, because, you know,
my
man got enough information here for a book. Shit.
And then I felt like I'm in jail for a week or two, man. Just in case I go to jail, I don't know what to do.
Don't get angry, right?
That's right. Don't get angry.
It's your class one.
Oh yeah.
A lot of people heard this, Robert?
Yeah, it was like about 10 people that came into the chat room so far. You know, so because last week it was about 8.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's increasing. And then, like, you can come back and listen to the archives. You can
right.
come back and listen to the show. So I'll check that later.
If I
want to
listen to this again, where can I go? What?
Blog Talk Radio here.
Blog? Okay.
Take one of these here. Just go ahead and go
to
Blog.
I want to see the replay how we...
Blog
well,
Talk Radio.
Better.
Right here.
Exactly,
look.
Right.
You see right here?
Yeah.
It said Blog Talk Radio. That's
just
for
going
the,
there?
Yeah, for the family medical leave.
Okay.
This one isn't about your show. This is about the... Family medical leave stuff.
Well, how about our show tonight?
I haven't put. I had the little dude come around, right?
Oh shit, that scared me like a motherfucker. I fucking dang it.
No, but if you want to listen to our rate,
you can always come back to the go back to my show.
Yeah. Is it here?
Yeah, it'll be in the archives.
Okay.
And I'm not gonna delete it and stuff.
No, man. We
want to
hear.
We want to improve. We want to have our shit so tight that people can't help but get on it. So
right.
We got to get these flyers
and
going.
You know, like you
want to
tell your friends, hey, you want to hear me live?
Yeah,
We talked about this guy, we did this.
Right.
And then you know, they might want to come in and participate, you know?
Right.
And we could get some other thugs on here with some different.
That's what I've been working on. You know what? We know what, Marie. Because
I know some.
Yeah, bring them. Call. Tell them. You know something else, Marie? That guy, Steve.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think you must have spooked him because
I. See, I told you I'm on the righteous path. The nigga is a coward. He don't want to deal with himself. He want to keep slinging drugs.
But he wasn't. You know, because he comes by on every now and then. Because when he was over, he was been in a couple of shops, and I've been delivering food to the shops. And he said he ain't been doing too much, and he been spending a little bit of time with.
No, he probably owe me some money. No, I don't know if he do or not.
Well, let's get that out, because like with your girl Sandra, I had owed her $100, and I told her at the time when she what was going on at the time, I had, you know, 4 relatives died,
mm-hmm.
different circumstances. So I said, let me spend some time dealing with this. And then when I tried to get back with her, when you did the thing up the street, I said, hey, let me holler at you. She said, you ain't got nothing to talk to me about. I said, okay, fine. So I tried to let her know, hey, it was some stuff going on, and I wanted to go ahead. And,
he probably owed me money. I can't remember. But some people
you know what?
Have heart and some don't.
Yeah, that's always the
he
case.
He don't have
man.
The heart. He
that's
don't
always
have
the case.
Heart.
People don't want to see you again because, you know, like you said,
yeah.
maybe you owe money or
yeah.
you see something. Yeah.
Yeah, I see it. You want the heaven, I need a hug, right?
Right.
Yeah, you need to open the show with that so that it starts growing.
You say, Ronnie, you said you started making some rap?
Yeah.
The guy that we met...
Hold on, Playboy. Hold on, man. We're going to work this out with him because she does something too, but hold on, man. We're going to get him in there. Let's
man,
work it out with old boy
some,
first.
You got some right connections, man.
Yeah, and then I know some more people, plus my cousin. My cousin go ahead and be traveling. He played, you know, he played in these different bands, you know, doing reggae music, and he always around all these other people. So, you know.
Maybe, check this out, Ronnie. Since you got some rap going already, right? I got some melody going already. I used to do some house music back then.
Oh, yeah?
And we met this guy. He's got a studio, man. So, maybe
okay.
he can rap on my music.
Yeah.
It's some music, I don't have words to it.
Right. But you just got the music.
I got the music, and maybe we can put some in it, combine together,
right.
and we'll do a recording in Eddie's studio, and do something. I don't know.
Life is fun. It's
whatever. I'm trying to get it in. I'm 40-something, man.
Oh, you are?
You know, I'm 40.
Yeah.
I'll be 41 in August. You
right.
know.
We do, yeah, I'm 49, man.
Right.
That's what I said.
Yeah,
79.
Yeah.
I came out of 78.
Yeah, we're all there.
I'm 49 too.
Yeah, and I mean to be 48.
That's all you got?
To be a man, he do.
You just gonna leave one? What kind of shit is that? Come on, Ray.
it takes every little bit of talent. You know what I mean?
Right.
You
right.
got the talent to do something. I got the talent to do something.
Right.
And if we all put it together.
Let me put this straight on the CD right quick.
Come
I got a bunch of CDs. I can burn
them. You can put the show on the CD.
You know what? I never done that. Let me see how I can do that. I think I can.
Let me go ahead and just copy this one. Copy this track.
Because by him having plugs, we need sponsors. Because, see, once this thug gets a hug from Diva Marie, then some more thugs are going to want some hugs.
Thug needs a hug, yeah. It's a good one, man.
Thug need a hug Thursday.
You can change his life like that.
Of course, for sure.